Pray with me. O Lord, faithful God, you are our rock and our refuge. Help us to hear your word as truth and to act on it in faith, that all may come to know your love. Amen. One of my favorite parables is the parable of the three little pigs. Now, don't reach for your Bible. I'm pretty sure you won't find it there. But it would fit nicely alongside Jesus' images of the carpenters or builders who choose to build their houses on rock or sand. Remember, the first little pig is in a big hurry, so she throws up a house made of the most common and easy-to-work material she can find, straw, and then runs out to play. The second little pig is very taken with the latest retro fashion, and so she constructs a house of sticks because that's the latest thing. Then she invites her chicest friends to admire how cool her house is. The third little pig, well, she's something of a practical plotter. She chooses to build her house with plain old bricks. It takes quite a while to fit and mortar all those bricks, so her play time is limited. The cool people all point and laugh at what an ordinary house she's putting together. But when the big bad wolf comes to town looking for lunch, where do they all end up? I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, is the wolf's mantra. It's not difficult to imagine how meaningful that threat is when your house is made of straw. Whoosh, it's gone. Sticks don't stand up much better to the powerful wind from the wolf. Each successive little pig escapes by the hair of her chinny-chin-chin to the third little pig's house, where they live happily ever after, because everyone knows that no matter how big or bad or full of hot air, a wolf cannot blow down a brick house. Solid foundations, solid structure when the winds come howling. It doesn't matter if the winds blow from the weather or the winds blow from a wolf at the door, a brick house on a rock foundation will survive every time. I'm reminded of selling my mother's house, which I think I talked about last week, her house in Boise after her death. In many ways, it was quite a fine house. It was custom built for my mother and stepfather. They had the wherewithal to build the house from the best materials available, redwood and cedar and so forth, and on a firm foundation built into the side of a hill. It was their dream home, and it withstood a lot, even as it provided much joy. But at 40-some years old at the time, and in a buyer's market, the realtors advised that we empty it and leave it unstaged, so prospective buyers might see and admire the bones, the skeletal structure of the building. Because whoever bought the house would surely want to remodel it to their own contemporary taste. So what we were selling was not so much a home as a solid framework from which the next owners could create their own home. At the time, I showed some friends a picture of the empty house, and one of the family gathered around the table. While they admired the structure, their more immediate reaction was that it was the second photo that looked like a home. You see, it takes more than a foundation, more than the bones, to make a home. Still, a home needs a solid frame and a sure foundation if it is to survive and thrive. Now, when Jesus tells the tale of the wise and foolish builders, he's not talking literally about the construction business. It's a metaphor for something that might be even more important amid the threats and challenges of living in this world today. Something that we might build a life on. Something in which you would anchor this community. Foundational words. Foundational words. Oh, I can hear you. That's kind of ridiculous. Words are easy and talk is cheap. That's even more foolish than the pigs that made their house of straw and sticks or the carpenter who builds his house on the sand. But wait, let's dig a little deeper into what Jesus is saying about foundational words. See, in Matthew's gospel, this image of building houses comes at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, that great collection of sayings and teachings of Jesus that begins so beautifully with the Beatitudes. This is when you'll want to pull out your Bibles and read back through chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. I'm pretty sure you will find there words to build a life on, words to anchor a community in, foundational words that might make a whole new world God's beloved community. Of course, it's not literally the words themselves, the letters and symbols that lie there on the page and moving on which we want to pin our hopes. As with all language, these words only serve to carry the meaning that must be met and become the bricks and mortar with which we build our homes, with which we shape our lives. Richard Beaton, commenting on today's text, observes, "This final story summarizes the entire Sermon on the Mount. The message is clear. Discipleship occurs in the everyday practices of Jesus' followers." Hear that? If the words are not truly foundational of something more that is not put into practice, they are meaningless. He continues, "Jesus' words here balance the misunderstanding of Paul in today's Christian world that can be distorted into a gospel of grace without ethical demand." It sounds a lot like Dietrich Bonhoeffer writing about cheap grace. Grace without ethical demand doesn't cut it. Beaton insists that Jesus is not suggesting that a new law replace the old. Rather, love for and devotion to God must be accompanied by a life that honors God. Or to put it another way, becoming a follower of Jesus is to decide to become a member of his society and is marked by a willingness to live one's life according to the values and beliefs of that society. Friends, that sounds a lot like foundational words. Words that carry true belief and value, founded in Christ's vision of God's beloved community. Thus, Beaton says, one becomes part of the people of God. Jesus' invitation is an invitation to encounter with God and a different way of living life. So stop for a minute and play a little game. Let's imagine that we are building our lives or constructing our community. What are some of the foundational words on which we might want to rely? And you'll experiment. In your bulletin, you have a connection card or maybe on the back of a prayer card or something. Just write down a foundational word. Write down a foundational word for you, one on which you would want to build your life or construct this community or both. And then when the ushers come, you can put those in the offering plate and we'll sort it all out at the end of the service and just see what you come up with in terms of what you think are foundational words for the living of your life and for the life of this beloved community. Words that come to mind are words like honesty, responsibility, kindness, trust, constancy, humility, presence, service, generosity, patience, respect, love. Now here's the rub. Beaton tells us that we all have a set of assumed beliefs, that what we think we believe, and then he says we have our real beliefs. Those beliefs are revealed in our behavior. Any sense of a disconnect there in yourself or others? Do you ever see a disconnect with what we say we believe and what we live out that we believe? Beaton observes, for Christians in the West, we affirm and make much of doctrinal statements, views on social justice, poverty, or even what it means to be truly spiritual. Our challenge, he said, however, is to align our practices, the behaviors of our workday lives, with our stated beliefs. To give Paul a fair shake, I'm reminded here of some important words he wrote in that wonderful 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of humans or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move a mountain, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Well, there's a foundational word for you. Love. Love. Perhaps there's no other word that is more foundational, nothing more dependable for building a life or constructing a beloved community than the steadfast love of God as lived out in Christ Jesus. You may have thought this morning that I mined my hymn sources for every hymn that refers to foundation. I imagine there are a few I missed. I was thinking particularly of On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, All Other Ground is Sinking Sand, for those of you who come from a more evangelical tradition. For some of us old-timers, I believe the first hymn that would come to mind is The Church is One Foundation, which affirms that the Church is one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. But I find some of the words in that hymn troublesome, and so I have come to prefer the words of my mentor, my beloved friend Rod Romney, that we will sing at the end of the service this morning. The church's strong foundation is God's eternal love. Through mystery of creation, it entered from above. Through spirit still descending, with love we can't refuse. It needs no staunch defending, it but comes as God's good news. We share Christ's way of living, shape future as he would, cross borders of forgiving, and share our humanhood. We hide not in tradition, in creeds that make no last stand, but find in love's position the kingdom is at hand. Sing out in celebration of love renewed, restored, as we in consecration live out the healing word. The church's strong foundation is God's eternal love, and we in consecration are called to live out this healing word. If we're not careful, we might find here a foundational word on which to build a wonderful new world for ourselves, our community, and our neighbors beyond. Amen.